beautiful love story, and it's true. Now it's a movie. Let's talk about it with director Andy Irwin on Steve Brown, etc.
He's an old white guy, an author, broadcaster, and seminary professor who's sick of religion. And he's brought friends. Please welcome Steve Brown, etc.
We are so glad you're here, and you always have a place at our table. I'm Steve, the aforementioned old white guy. Look for the new movie about me, 50 Shades of Brown.
Spicy.
I don't know if I'll be seeing that one. I don't know.
And then our favorite megachurch pastor, Zach Van Dyke, is here. In his years as an actor, Zach experienced self-doubt, rejection, heartache, and now he's a pastor.
Easier gig.
No, it's not. No. Not even close. Matthew Borders with us. Matthew used to write comedy for us. Now he writes these stupid intros.
That was a demotion, Matt.
Absolutely true.
Our producer, Jinx, is working hard in the little glass booth. Jinx loves the sound of music, specifically the sound of Van Halen.
That is a good one. Yes.
Our video director, John Myers, is in the tech bunker. John already watched Andy's new movie online. But it was in Chinese. And Dr. George Bingham, of course, is the president of Key Life. George sometimes feels like a blockbuster guy in a Netflix world. That's a good line.
Good one, Matthew.
And then Kathy Wyatt, of course, is the soft feminine side of the program. She is and will always be a leading lady.
Oh, my goodness. What do you want?
Bring up the music.
Your birthday isn't even coming up, right? Matthew.
Hey, look, I'm always, ABC, always be closing, looking for some muffins or baked goods.
What Van Halen goes with that line?
Running with the devil.
Everybody wants some.
Listen, guys, Andy Irwin is half of a filmmaking duo. The brothers, Irwin Brothers, and he serves as chief creative officer at Kingdom Story Company. In 2010, Andrew and his brother John began exclusively developing dramatic feature films. Their projects include October Baby, Mom's Night Out, Woodlawn, and the 2018 hit, I Can Only Imagine. I love that movie. And each of these films have opened in the box office top 10. The Irwin Brothers' latest film is called I Still Believe, and it opens in theaters on March the 13th. Couldn't you do it on the 14th? I mean, isn't that kind of a bad move to open? Is that a Friday?
We like some risk to it. So we decided to have a little adventure and launch on Friday the 13th. So it'll be fun.
Maybe they're Presbyterian and it doesn't matter.
That's right. It was foreordained from the beginning.
Exactly.
Andy, tell us a little bit about the movie and the story behind it.
Yes, yeah, Steve, I'll let you read my bio any day. I love hearing your voice. for the movie I Still Believe, after we finished I Can Only Imagine, and that was, of course, a music story, we were trying to find, my brother and I were trying to find what story to do next. And somebody told us about musician Jeremy Camp and about his love story with his first wife, Melissa, and her battle with cancer. And I went into it very skeptical. And about an hour into the interview, he got the 1,000-yard stare and started reliving it. And it was the most compelling love story I've heard in a long time, just about how he, as a college kid trying to make it as a musician, fell in love with this girl, found out about her diagnosis, and decided to walk this beautiful journey with her through the ups and downs. And And Melissa said, if one life could be changed by what I go through, it's totally worth it. And it just tells the impact that her short life had. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful love story, incredible cast. And it was amazing to see the film come together.
You get piles and piles of ideas for movies. I bet everybody in the country is sending you stuff.
Yeah. I have to stay off Facebook these days because my inbox gets about 10 pitches an hour. And even people that you don't think would ever pitch you a story get to a point that it's kind of an awkward moment in the conversation where there's a lull. And they're like, so I've been thinking about this story. I'm like, oh, not you too. But you never know when the right story is going to find you. And so the way we found our last movie, I Can Only Imagine, I invited the singer Bart Millard from Mercy Me, that the film's based on, to come see one of my other films in the theater. And at the end of the film, he came down and said, I don't know if you know this, but there's a movie studio that's been developing my life story for the past 5 years. I would love for you guys to consider making it. And I said, well, I don't know if you know this, but they sent us the script this morning. It's kind of meant to happen. And then we went and watched Captain America at midnight together and became best friends. So,
and the rest cool. That's good.
Andy, I do have a script though. Can I send it to you? I mean, just to read it. Just
we don't want to make you uncomfortable or anything.
Well, Matthew, you have one too, don't you?
Yeah. Let's just make it super weird.
Listen, if we're doing a good interview, will you look at my script?
That's the whole reason I'm on here today.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Do you, the first question that comes to mind is that your brother's not here. Is there sibling rivalry in your family?
Good question.
Absolutely. Directing with your brother is always dysfunctional in the best sense of the word. And so it was funny. We were directing Mom Side Out, and there was this one scene where Sean Astin is the actor, and he's driving the car. And so there was a thunderstorm coming up over the horizon, and so we had to kind of stay ahead of the thunderstorm to keep filming. And I'm telling we're in the back seat filming, and I'm telling Sean to turn left, and my brother is saying, no, we need to go to the right. And we're bickering back and forth, and finally he puts the car in park and said, Cain and Abel are arguing again. So it's kind of the way it is. But we have a policy that's based on collaboration. The best idea wins. And so we have a lot of fun doing what we do. It's friction with respect.
That's great, man. I'm going to cross-stitch that. That's beautiful. So talk a little bit about you sat down with Jeremy Camp and you kind of had this moment of like, yeah, this is a project. What was the development process like as far as moving from that to the script? How were there kind of any departures from, you know, like by the letter, you know, how it actually happened? What was that kind of process like?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love that question. You know, when we finally decided that we were going to do the movie, it was at the very end of the interview, and his wife, Adrian, Melissa passed away, and his wife, Adrian, I pulled her in and I said, how can you listen to your husband talk about another woman for 3 hours and not flinch, not feel jealous? Mm. And she said, let me be very clear. I'm very protective over Jeremy and Melissa's story because it changed my life. It was something I needed to hear. And at that point, I looked at my brother. I was like, we're doing this movie. And so we explained to them that doing a movie of your life is not doing a photograph. It's doing a portrait. You've got to condense all this life experience into 2 hours. But, you know, we say we want to know everything about what makes you tick, how you feel, what your journey was, so that we can paint an accurate portrait. And so, yeah, we will compress characters and kind of combine characters.
Uh-oh, I think we're having some network problems. Did we lose him?
Well,
I think we did.
All right.
We'll get him back on.
Listen, it's going to be fine. We'll sit here and have a hymn sing, say some prayer, you know, and everything will be fine. Go ahead.
There we go.
Got you back.
You back?
We lost you for a minute.
We'll fix it post.
Not eternally, but just.
Oh, sorry.
Just some studio hiccup.
no problem. So we try to paint an accurate portrait of people and try to put it in the right order when they watch it. They get a chance to say what they feel. And this is our fifth true story. And I think it's been cool to see it come to life.
Do you, I suspect, and, you know, we're running out of time in this segment, but I suspect doing what you do and getting the ideas you get and everybody trying to push something and sell something to you, there must be a degree of cynicism that gets into you. I guess that when you really do a movie, that's the real deal and probably puts gasoline in your engine, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a great question. I can go on for that for hours, but I think the short answer is I can't take an audience on a journey unless I'm willing to go on that emotionally myself. And so each time we take on a story, it takes 2 years of our life, and we have to ask ourselves, is this worth 2 years? When we commit to that story, those are the ones that we say, okay, this is worth investing in, and I can guarantee this is one of those.
Oh, man, that's good. And this movie sounds absolutely dynamite. I'll tell you something. If it took me 2 years to get a sermon together, I'd quit preaching. I'll tell you that. Guys, we're talking to Andy Irwin in the movie. You got to write this down, remember it. Go on March the 13th to show that you're not superstitious, that you are a Christian, and you've gotten rid of all of that in your life. The movie is I Still Believe, and we're talking about it on Steve Brown, etc. And anybody ask you what you're watching or listening to, you tell them and stick your nose in the air and say, and you're not?
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have 4 mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These 4 mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
We're talking with Andy Irwin, and his film is I Still Believe, and it opens in theaters March the 13th. Write that down. Buy a bunch of tickets. And you'll rise up and call me blessed for having told you about it.
Andy, I got a chance to see the movie, an advanced screener of it, and I signed an NDA that says I wouldn't give my opinion. But if I did give my opinion, I would say I enjoyed it. But I but I want to honor that commitment, so I'm not going to say that. who's this film for? Who's the intended audience for this?
You know, I mean, you know, what we're trying to do is, you know, honor the audience that we've cultivated over the years, which is a growing audience of faith. I think that, you know, John and I, we have a philosophy that faith is not a genre. It's an audience to serve. And so but we're trying to do films that really appeal to all the things that we hold dear as Christians, but they work outside of the church walls. And so that's kind of why we gravitate towards true stories, because that allows us to show the power of somebody's real life experience in a way that is palatable to somebody that's not a believer. The thing that we're excited about with this one is we feel like, because of the cast that came together and because of the young love story, we feel like this has a chance to go younger. So it's playing really, really well with young adult college age people. Because of KJ Apa, and I felt really old when we cast him, because I didn't know what the show Riverdale was, but his 20 million followers on Instagram kept trying to sneak on our film set every day. and it was like the Beatles. It was ridiculous. So so we're really excited to see that kind of story continue to broaden. And Lionsgate as a studio has really gotten behind what we're doing with Kingdom Story Company, and they're allowing us to tell bigger and broader stories. So we're about to go into production on the Kurt Warner story of going back to football. That rolls camera in May. And so we're really excited about the future. But this one's definitely, they're giving this an IMAX release on 3,000 screens. So which keeps me throwing up twice a day. So, but
you know, I don't know a thing about this business, but just some advice from the old guy. Doesn't seem to me that a product about cancer and dying is going to sell a lot of tickets. I guess you throw Jesus in there and that helps a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. The cancer thing is kind of the device for every film needs kind of an antagonist. It needs something that's the kind of the opposition. And so that's why this is my second movie that deals with cancer, and you know, I Can Only Imagine was a father-son story, not a cancer movie, and this one is a love story. It's not a cancer movie. So I've been pitched a lot of cancer movies and not interested. But as a context of something greater than that, and I think you saw that with Imagine, to have this little $7 million film do $84 million in the box office spoke to the testament of just the hope that people found in the story. So I'm really confident that this has potential with the love story to do something special.
Andy, I think what you and your brother are doing is so it's just so incredible. I after graduating from college, I went to California. I went to LA for a few years because I really did think I was going to be an actor. And my greatest claim to fame was I got a part on a reenactment show where they like reenact things. So I didn't even have any lines, and it was called Diary of an Affair. So I was like reenacting someone's affair, and it was in that moment that I realized, like, I don't know that this is right for me. Like, I don't know that. And so I say that to say you guys have entered into a world that isn't really easy to navigate as a person of faith, as a person who follows Jesus. And I'm just curious, like, what that's been like for y'all, kind of entering in a world that's so not always opposed, but just like so kind of unaware of Christianity.
Yeah, it's well, we got to talk to your agents and get you back in the saddle.
No, forget it.
Where I wanted to pitch you.
If you saw Diary of an Affair, you wouldn't say that. So.
That's great. You know, people ask me all the time, you know, they want to get involved in the business. And I always, you know, kind of kids in high school and college kids that want to get a start. And I always ask them, is there anything else you'd rather do with your life? And if they say yes, I say, do that. Right. But if they say, you know, I'm passionate about this, then it's a worthy endeavor. It's not easy. You know, I think that what John and I feel called to do is very missional in mindset. Like if I was doing it for red carpets or celebrity friends, I would have quit and started working at Starbucks a long time ago.
Yeah.
But the Lord has just opened a path that we want to be good stewards of for as long as we have it. And so, you know, whenever we're either telling a story that we can communicate to a broader audience or, you know, have a position of influence with an actor like KJ or, you know, being able to, you know, direct somebody like a Dennis Quaid and you get a chance to have a window of ministry into their lives. It's really great. And we love it. So we appreciate it that God's given us that opportunity and we try to stay faithful to that calling.
Yeah, that's great.
Andy, my question involves the opening of the movie. You said, I think you said that like 3,000 theaters, is that right? Does a, because I don't know anything about the business, so does a big opening weekend, does that mean that you could get more releases, you know, the opportunity for more theaters? So I guess that's a twofold question. Does that happen? And secondly, then obviously I'm almost answering my own questions. So like a big opening weekend is really important. Is that correct?
I love your question and I will pay you for that later. The opening weekend is everything because it's a competitive market. It's capitalism at its core. You know, people a lot of times will say that Hollywood has an agenda and they don't want product like this there. And that's not true. They're business people and they are motivated by dollars. So the way that you vote for the kind of product you want to see is with your movie ticket. That's your voice. That's your vote. And so when a movie like Imagine comes out, You know, Imagine was predicted to do, you know, 3 to 4 million opening weekend, which would have been really, really hard to weather that storm. And we've been praying that it would do 10. It would have been a great weekend. And then it opened to 17.1 million opening weekend, and I passed out. And that just provided the opportunity that all of a sudden all the heads were turned. They gave us more opportunity in more theaters. And then it went on a tremendous run. And so, and then when you buy a ticket, for every ticket you buy here in the U.S., you're able to then see it go around the world and with international releases. So this one not only is being released in this country, but because of how Imagine did, they're giving us 87 different countries it's releasing in. Wow. Opening weekend. So they translate into their languages. It's getting a release throughout the Middle East, in parts of Asia, all over South America. So, you know, that opening weekend is critical for people to show up and vote that this is the kind of product that they want, because that opening weekend can make or break a film.
Wow.
Oh, man. Do you, well, we're up to a break. Good timing, man. You're good at this. I bet you're in the film business.
My dad was in radio, so.
Hey, listen, on the other side, I want to find out if we demonize your business too much. As Christians, sometimes we're sure the devil resides in Hollywood and loves it. But I suspect you found out some things a little bit different than that, and I'd be interested in hearing that. Guys, we're talking to Andy Irwin. And if you love Jesus, on March the 13th, you'll buy a ticket. The name of the movie is I Still Believe. If you don't, you'll get the fever and die.
From Key Life comes two mini books, What Do You Do for a Living? And Life After Retirement. What Do You Do for a Living by Justin Holcomb addresses the problem of defining ourselves by what we do and how we perform in our work instead of by who we know. A gracious, loving God who defines who we are. Life After Retirement by Steve Brown examines how those transitioning from work to retirement often experience a loss of purpose in life, and how the quest for personal significance can best be answered by God's radical grace, love, and purpose for our lives sufficient to carry us through this transition. What Do You Do for a Living and Life After Retirement can help guide people struggling with either work or retirement. These two Key Life mini books are available through keylife.org for a donation of $6.
You're listening to Steve Brown, Etc., and if you're seeing us on YouTube, now, those of you in our radio audience, I don't know how many stations, 160 at last count.
250.
You can't do that. 250. Good heavens. I'm not that it matters, but if you're seeing us on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. We're now closing on 4,000 subscribers. I couldn't care less, but it seems to matter to Matthew, and he told me to say this.
It does matter. Thank you.
So subscribe and then go out and buy a ticket in Jesus' name for I Still Believe. It's a great movie, and it opens on the 13th.
I just have to say, I loved watching you do that. I can just tell there's nothing in you that wanted to say any of that.
It is so fun watching him talk about something he doesn't understand.
I'm reading my script.
Andy, that's true. Andy, before the break, I brought up the idea that Christians kind of demonize Hollywood. I mean, it's all nasty. It's all of the devil. There couldn't be any good thing going. I suspect your experience has been a little bit different than that, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of times we demonize just to kind of self-protect because we feel excluded from the table. But I think we excluded ourselves from the table as Christians decades ago. Mm-hmm. And kind of stepped out of the idea of being able to influence culture through film. And people took our seat and said, you know, absolutely, we'll run with it. And I think it's a business. It's competitive. And so, you know, you have to kind of compete for your spot. And I think when other filmmakers came in from with a Christian perspective, that bravely kind of forged a path back into that, whether that was, obviously Mel Gibson and then the Kendrick brothers and Devon Franklin and others, the product, when we first started out, Mel excluded, it needed a lot of developing and needed a lot of texturing and the quality needed to go up. So we all conceded that. And that the same goes for my films. But as we've begun to learn the industry and to kind of learn how to tell the stories, like Matthew knows, it takes a lot of practice. And I think at this point, some of the stories are starting to be able to get to a place where they can compete on a broader level. So when you have a film like, I Can Only Imagine, that does $84 million, all of a sudden the studios seek you out. And so we had three major offers from studios to have a long-term deal after Imagine. And at Lionsgate, we just really loved their mindset. We interviewed each of the studios. When we got to them, we said, how do you think? What do you value? And they said, we value entrepreneurs, whether you're a filmmaker or you're a film executive, we form small businesses together to connect with an audience. And we're like, that's our people. And so when we stepped in, we didn't know how many Christians actually worked at that company. There was all these big executives that would come over and kind of whisper, like, I'm a Christian too. And it's like, we're looking for products like this that we can do that we're not ashamed of. And so to see what God's doing there, to see what God's doing through Devon Franklin at Paramount, what God's doing through Stephen and Alex Kendrick at Sony, you know, I feel like the right voices are kind of assembling now, and the budgets are getting better, and we're able to compete and get better actors and bigger names, and the quality is just continuing to rise. So it's exciting.
So the approach with this one, you know, it's story first, and it seems like a simple thing to say, but it makes such a qualitative difference. And it feels like kind of a next generation of Christian filmmaking where there's not the agenda just right in your face. And you're like, guys, this movie sucks. I mean, your heart's in the right place. Yeah. But, you know, is that kind of the MO of Kingdom Story and your approach to all of that?
Yeah. And we're looking for filmmakers that have the potential to be better than John and I. And, you know, we want, our desire is at some point to achieve irrelevance where it's about the quality of the stories being put forth, not the name attached to it. And so if you see the Kingdom logo, you know, it's going to be good regardless of the filmmaker. The same way when you look at Pixar, you know, it's going to be a really good story. And there's a lot of Christians that work at Pixar. So, we're a story first company. And when we find those stories, we feel like they should communicate to people regardless of what you believe. But embedded in there at the key moment when you earn the right to be heard, every movie has a perspective. Every movie has an agenda behind the person that wrote it. And when we get to that moment where we allow the gospel to shine, all we have to do is plant the simple thought of redemption. And we step away and let it kind of reverse engineer. It's called emotional jamming. But you earn the right. So we're very disciplined up front to set a story where you care about these characters. You want to go on the journey. So in this case, with I Still Believe, you really fall in love with Jeremy and Melissa. And KJ and Britt, their chemistry as actors is phenomenal. So when it gets to that point where it takes a turn towards what gives her her hope, the audience goes with you regardless of what they believe. And we saw that time and again with Imagine. We're really hopeful about this one.
Hmm. Oh, you go. Do you get criticized for not talking about Jesus more specific?
You know,
now, wait. we got to sell product. So we're going to back out. But
you're going to let them answer, though, right? I want to know.
I just want to. People to think about it.
No.
When we come back, Andy, I'd like for you to address that particular question. And just so you know, we are coming back just like Jesus, and I don't care what you think. And if you're if you have a small group in your church, this would be a good thing to download and to discuss in that small group. It's a discussion that needs to be held in church. Trust me on this. As I said, we're coming back.
Hi,
How many of you had a father who told you when you were growing up, someday you're going to go to jail? That's something Bill Glass asks of his audiences when he speaks in prison. Bill says that almost every hand goes up. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Are you crazy? Words can mold everything you are. Because of Jesus, I've got a Heavenly Father who doesn't think there's a party unless I'm there. I don't think I'm going to go to prison, but if I do, he'll feel exactly the same way about me. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com. We're glad you're with us on the program, Steve Brown, etc. And we're hanging out with Andy Irwin. He's co-director of a new film, I Still Believe. Listen, go to istillbelievemovie.com and follow on social at I Still Believe. I was asking you before the break, do you get criticism from Christians who think you ought to have an altar call at the end of the movie?
You know, that's a great question, Steve. I think, you know, at first, when we first kind of started what we were doing, people that were used to faith film were used to kind of one thing. And I think there was a fear of that up front that we were going to somehow, steer away from what we believed and just try to become, you know, somebody that sells out to the mainstream. We kind of had to educate at first of this is the strategy. And some films are called to preach to the choir, and the people that do that do it well. And that's not us. We feel called to reach out beyond the church walls to those people and introduce them to the idea of redemption. So it's kind of like there's a movie called Inception that I love that's about like where they would plant a thought in somebody's dreams. And they didn't have to plant this elaborate thought. They just had to kind of get into this inner workings of their mind, plant a very simple thought, close the door, and back away. So when we get to that point, like in Imagine, where Dennis Quaid is at the breakfast table and we've earned that moment for 2/3 of the movie, and he says, if God, this abusive father says to his son, if God can forgive everybody else, why can't he forgive me? And the son says, God can forgive you, and I can't. And then he comes back around, sees his dad as a broken man, and says, I can tell you how. That moment is earned. And once that moment is planted, we just step away. So time and time again, people would ask people in the theater, hey, can you tell me the rest of the story? Hmm. So our desire is to set up the church to win, so the church can do what it's meant to do, and that's minister to the local community. We just provide a conversation starter to kind of get the conversation going. And if we do that well, then we don't have to beat people over the head with it. But it's intentional. It's not done as a marketing gimmick. It's very much ideological at its core. And so as people begin to see that with like Woodlawn, and then especially with Imagine, pastors have begun to adopt that. Hey, this is a way to evangelize our community. And so it's a partnership with the local church that's working really, really well now that people kind of see what it can do.
So good.
Andy, I'm the only one at the table that doesn't have a script. But has anybody asked you for a donation? I mean, maybe something you want to consider.
ABC.
Yeah, you know.
Yep, absolutely. We'll talk later.
Well, and I admire your bravery. I mean, you just come right out there with a spoiler alert for the story. I mean, the main character passes away. It's all about story, though, right? That surprise at the end. No, you were talking off camera about, or off air. It's off camera, too, right?
It is.
Yeah, maybe if the YouTube worked
everything
this time.
It's written down.
Okay. Yeah. I hope I'm hidden from it. Anyway. You were talking off air about a next project you've got coming up,
yep,
and you don't have enough time really to do it, or you have really compressed. Can you talk about that story?
Yeah, so the Kurt Warner story, for anybody that's a football fan, it's like the Holy Grail. It's just talk about the underdog of all underdog stories. So Kurt's story, we were contacted by he and Brenda, that we were introduced to them, his wife Brenda, and amazing couple. But the story of Kurt was this guy that was a fifth year senior at Northern Iowa, and was kind of a bench warmer for four of those 5 years, tried to make it in the NFL, and just didn't make it. And met this single mom, Brenda, that had two kids, one of which was special needs, and was just fell in love with this family, and kind of became Zach, this special needs kid, became a hero for him. And he began to fight for this family, and he and Brenda got married, and he worked at a local grocery store playing arena football on the weekends just to try to pay the bills, was out of football for 5 years, and then finally got a tryout for the St. Louis Rams with Dick Vermeil in his final year, ended up being one of the lowest paid players in the league that year, and became the MVP of the NFL and the MVP of the Super Bowl that year. And so it's supermarket to Super Bowl. It's called American Underdog is the name of the story. It goes into production in May, and it takes us back to our football roots that we got to do with Woodlawn. So we're so excited to bring it to life. It's going to be a big budget mainstream film, and I can't wait for people to see it.
You know, that sort of reminded me of, and you answered the question earlier that I had too about film going international. Do you give special consideration to, you know, the fact that the films are going to be distributed internationally, like in this case, American football, using American in the title? Does that change anything?
You know, there are things like that, but what drives international product a lot of times is appeal here in the States. You know, China takes the top 30 grossing American films a year and distributes them in their theaters. And so it goes on autopilot that the studio are contractually required to put it out through all their output deals. And so really we try to make products that are going to work here, and then they work internationally. And so we're excited to see that continue to expand, and our products do really well in places like Australia, New Zealand, and we're kind of branching out into Europe, and it's getting a French release, and all sorts of, it's really cool to see what happens.
That's awesome. You know, pivoting just a second back to I Still Believe, you mentioned a couple of times about the chemistry between the two young leads, and it is absolutely just absolutely charming, and it all rides on that, right? I mean, you know, the idea of a love story, kind of, I think Hallmark has kind of sabotaged that whole, you're like, oh, love story, romance, they've just grounded into the ground, it needs to be redeemed, and this movie is really great, but you also have some other kind of familiar faces and kind of leading supporting roles. Talk a little bit about who we see as Jeremy Camp's parents.
So we have Gary Sinise, and then the legend herself, Shania Twain, is in the film. Gary has been a longtime mentor of mine, and he's encouraged me. He's one of those people that was a friendly face when we first tried to make it into the industry, and supported us over the years. And this is the first time I've been able to talk him into being in one of my films. And so he's a legend. He directed Of Mice and Men when he was 32. And so half the time I'd just be on set leaning over to him and be like, Gary, what would you do? And he looked, he's like, well, what did I have for breakfast? And I'm like, okay, well, just figure it all out. So, and then Shania Twain, just really kind of embraced not all the glam that we're used to with her, but just that every mom in this story, and, is kind of the heart and soul of the family. So, top to bottom, it's an entertaining film that is worth the ticket and the price of admission. So I can't wait for people to see it in theaters March the 13th. It's going to be a really special weekend.
Andy, this has been a great hour. Thanks for, I know how busy you are. So thanks for taking the time to be with us. I hope we can do this again when you do your football story.
We'd love it.
And then we'll try to sell you a script.
That's what you'll deliver.
Guys, we got to back out, but if you'll stay around for just a little bit, we'll tell you who we're going to do it unto next week. And by the way, my suggestion about your small group, forget that. Make them all buy a ticket to this movie on the 13th of March and go see it in the name of Jesus.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
That was a great hour. I really like him, and frankly, he really likes us. I think he was surprised. I asked him if he brought the beer, and he knew he was in a different kind of place. I don't drink, by the way, so don't send me letters. I'm a teetotaler, so there. But, you know, we need, as Christians, to find those who are out of the box. We're going places where, and you know, they kid me around here when I read scripts about YouTube, and I've never turned on YouTube or about Twitter. I've never done it. We have one with the ministry, but somebody will say, Steve, say something controversial, and they put it on Twitter. So I've never been there, and I'm not on Facebook, and so they laugh at me when I do that. So there are places I can't go, and there are people I can't talk to. And the things I don't know about, but there are people who do, and they're generally out of the box, and they think differently than mainstream people like me. They're not, and we need to pray for them. We need to take people like Andy and just say, man, God has raised him up. And to be against that kind of thing because of our proclivities is a sin. It's kind of like when the lead rabbi said, look, this thing might be of God, and if it is, you don't want to be on the wrong side of it. And God's doing some stuff in places you wouldn't believe with people you would not have chosen in a way you wouldn't do it. That means you don't have to do it, but it means you do have to support them. So, dummy, buy a ticket, okay? And stand with these guys. Even if you don't want to talk about cancer and death, buy a ticket anyway. It'll be for the kingdom. All right. That ends the sermon.
Do you think
I'm
he's
finished?
Do you think
now we can take up a collection.
Yeah. Now we'll take up a collection.
Do you think he's cast that football movie yet? I mean,
Zach, I think it's got your name written all over it.
I mean, do you think it would be rude for me to just send a picture?
I'm sure they need it. Should do it.
Okay, all right.
I think you should do it.
If this pastor thing doesn't work out.
He called you to preach. Deal with it, man.
He can preach while he's throwing a pass.
That's right. That's right.
Who's going to be here next week?
Actually, next week it will be this stellar group of people around this table.
And in this booth.
And in this booth, who will be discussing some incredible subject matter.
Oh.
We do it unto ourselves.
But we've already recorded it, and I don't remember what it was. Because I'm old.
And we don't even have a product to sell.
No,
that'll
we don't.
That'll be unusual.
Nice.
Guys, we're out of here, but we're going to come back next week. Same time, same week, place, and it's our hope you'll join us. And between now and then, don't do anything we wouldn't. That gives you a wide, wide berth.